Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit, and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Father, we bless you. You are King. You are God, the captain of our salvation. One generation will declare your praise to another. Tonight we reverence you, we bless you, and we honor you. Thank you for this atmosphere, your presence, atmosphere of worship. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. We declare that we love you. We declare that we love you. You are God. You are King over our lives and our destinies. And there is none beside you. And tonight we make this declaration once again. Nizambika, Nizambika, kaine askena, Nizambika, 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 kaine askena, Nizambika, ninache Nizambika. Nizambika, kaine askena, Nizambika, 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 kaine askena, Nizambika, Nizambika, Nizambika. put on your light, let me just speak over you. Now, let me tell you this. When we put on lights like this, it's not a show. This is not a show. This is a destiny-defining encounter. But since your light is already on, I would have done that at the end of the service. But now that it's on, put on your light. I would ask Pastor Nat to blow. We're speaking life. We're speaking light. He said that was the true light that lighted every man. Can you put on your light prophetically? Put on your light. The meaning of that is that from today you are making a commitment to be a witness. A witness in every area, in the marketplace, a witness in your family. Putting on your light is no show. It's a commitment before the God of heaven that from today and for the rest of your life, you will shine as light. You will shine as light. You will shine as light. Someone say, I am the light and I will shine. Say, I am the light and I will shine. I will reveal the glory of God in my generation. Say that again. I will reveal the glory of God in my generation. Pastor Nasa. Just moving us this way. Lift your flags. I just heard that stirring. We're making declarations. We are light bearers. This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. This life that I have is the life of God. This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. Says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. It says, now are we the sons of God. Sons of God, possessors of a divine life. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not ordinary when we come into Christ. We literally are possessors of his life. It says that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have life. An indestructible life, an indomitable life, a life that sponsors dominion, a life that insists that you win. We're going to sing it one more time. Take it higher for me. Maybe the sisters will start. You just look at the wordings, that this life you have is the life of Christ that's in you. This life that you have is the life of God.
then the brothers will roar like you are angry with darkness, like you are angry with any situation that is not of Christ, and will shout away one more time. Lift your flags as we speak it to the ends of the earth. We declare the name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the light bearers are revealed right now. Let's go.
This life that I have, it's the life of Christ in me. This life that I have, it's the life of Christ. This life
is the life of Christ in me. This life that I have, it's the life of Christ. And said, I write these things to you that ye may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. It's not enough to have it, you must know. The power is released through the consciousness that you have it. It says, reckon yourself. It's the Greek word logizomai. Come into the consciousness of it. I have the life of God. I'm victorious. This I know. I'm a winner. Shout, I'm a winner. Shout, I'm victorious. The devil did not hear you. Say, I'm victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. God bless you. Goodness, what an atmosphere. What an atmosphere. What an atmosphere. I think we should shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll get straight to the point, and very briefly, this is a final session. And I'll be doing part three of Revive Us Again. So we've been on a three-part series, Revive Us Again. That's been our theme of consideration for this conference. And part one had to do with unmasking the agenda of darkness. Part two had to do with God's intervention system, how revival is reignited. And I want to end this series of discussions as we prepare to pray with the subtopic, the evidence of true revival. I want to put forth by the intelligence of Scripture, the indices, the signs that show that a true revival is at work in a life and in a territory. It will be a very brief one. And then we'll pray. Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. And then we'll go to the book of Isaiah chapter 60. I want to paint for you from Scripture the portrait of a man who is revived. The portrait of a territory that is revived. The Bible says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. It's a long read, so I crave your patience. It says, arise, shine. Someone shout amen. Amen. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2 says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Verse 3, Gentiles will come to your light. Another amen. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. Verse 4 says, lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. I'm painting for you from this portion of scripture a picture of a territory and a people who have experienced true revival. It says, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. 5. Then shall thou see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Next verse. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries and the Midians and Ephah, of Midian and Ephah, all day from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Still reading. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to thee. They shall come up with acceptance to my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. It says, who are these that fly as the cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and unto the one of Israel, because he had glorified thee. Verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Still reading. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto you the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. 13. It says, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Verse 14. It says, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto you, and all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15. It says, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. It says, thou shalt suck the milk from the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Reading to 19, verse 17. It says, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood I will bring brass, and for stones I will bring iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. It says, violence shall no longer be heard in UK, wasting or destruction within your borders, but thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise. The final read, it says, the sun shall no more be light by day, neither the brightness of the moon, but the Lord shall be unto you an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, according to scripture, there are clear evidences that attest to the presence of a true revival. There are false moves. There are similitudes of revivals. But when a genuine revival breaks out within a territory or within a life, there are biblical indices. There are signs and evidences that attest to the presence of a true revival. First off, for you to know that there are three levels of revival. Revival occurs at three levels. Number one is called personal revival. This has to do with the individual being revived. Level number two is revival in the house of God or revival in the church. That's the second level of revival. And then the third level of revival is called territorial transformation, revival in society. These are the three levels of revival. All through scripture, every time you hear the mention of revival as touching awakenings and God consciousness, you find these three levels of revival. Again, personal revival. An individual can experience an awakening, a restoration like you're going to be learning shortly. Number two, revival in the house of God. Revival in the church. The Bible calls it judgment in the house of God. And then number three, territorial transformation. So very quickly, let's look at what these various levels of revival capture. These are the areas we are going to be considering as far as looking at the indices and the evidences. For a start, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 24, the Bible shows us a picture, an adumbration of personal revival, the prodigal son. So the Bible tells us once upon a time, the young man desired to have his share of his father's inheritance. And the Bible says he left and lived riotously. And one time he depleted until he was now feeding with the swine. One day he came to himself, the Bible records, and he said, how many hired servants as my father, and I'm here feeding with the swine. I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your servants. And the Bible says, while he was on his way returning, he saw his father afar off. The father embraced him, put a robe, kissed him, restored him. That's a picture of revival. And then the father made a very profound statement in verse 24. He says, for this my son was dead. Did the boy die? No. But the boy was dead in terms of being alienated from the reality of the experience that was norm in his family, norm in his home. He says, this my son was dead, but now he's alive. That's the word. Anazao, to bring back to life. He was lost and is now found. And the Bible says they began to marry. The second level of revival is revival in the church. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3. Malachi chapter 3, please give it to us. The Bible says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons, not one man, the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. He will purify the sons of Levi. He will purify priesthood. He will purify the body. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, when we begin our reading from verse 19, I believe, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So there are a group of people called them that are his. He is the God of everyone, but he does not identify everyone as his. Jesus said, all that you have given me, I have kept, and none is lost, except the son of perdition, and that scripture might be fulfilled. So he said, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Then he says, in a great house. So he's not just talking about individuals. He's talking about matters that concern a great house. The second level of revival. There are vessels within that house of gold, of silver, of wood, and of earth. The Bible says some vessels are unto honor. Some vessels are unto dishonor. Then if a man who is part of that great house will purge himself, that man will become a vessel unto honor, meet, sanctified for the master's use and prepared for every good work. The third level of revival, like I said, is territorial transformation. When it has to do with impact, the impact of the life of God in society, we as believers call it revival, but our territory will call it transformation. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, a popular scripture, 2:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The Bible says, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, but it will not end with their personal forgiveness. I will heal their land. So there is something called the healing of the land. That's what we call territorial revival, the healing of the land. Journey with me for one moment to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. The Bible talks to us from, you know, most of us know the story. So this man called Jonah, a prophet of God, the Lord beckoned on him to go to a depraved territory. God was not dealing with individuals. He was dealing with a territory called Nineveh. The Bible tells us that that was such a depraved territory, and to preach, to forewarn them, lest judgment would come upon them. And Jonah had learned of the wickedness and the depravity and the decadence of such people. And he ran away because he knew that God was a merciful God. Cut the long story short, he landed in the belly of the fish and he prayed a very serious prayer in that belly of the fish. And finally, the fish brought him out. And then the Lord would send him again. 3 verse 1. Arise, Jonah. Again, verse 2. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. So God was concerned not just with the salvation of individuals, but the territory, the city. He says, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3. So Jonah arose. Finally, he obeyed. He went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. The Bible says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city. Can you imagine the Bible calling a city great, a territory great? That sounds to me like UK. That sounds to me like Britain, isn't it? A great city. But the Bible says it was 3 days journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Not just a person. The entire city believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least them. Verse 6. For the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Verse 7. The Bible says, and he caused it to be proclaimed. This is a picture of territorial revival. And to be published. Now that's the power of influence in government. He caused it to be proclaimed. He caused it to be published. Not just to be experienced, to be proclaimed, to be passed as law, to become policy by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Verse 9, it says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? Shout verse 10 if you are a Christian. 1, 2, go. And God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So 3 levels of revival. Personal revival, revival within the church, and revival within society. So straight to the point very quickly, there are evidences, and I'll break these evidences into 3. What are the evidences of personal revival? What are the evidences of revival in the church? And what are the evidences of revival in society? Hallelujah. A man can be revived. A believer can be revived. An unbeliever does not need revival. An unbeliever needs salvation. The word revived means you were once alive and then you went into decline or decadence and now you are being restored. You see that now? Salvation is a translation. It's not necessarily a restorative process, but revival is a restorative process. It means that you were once on fire, you were once vibrant, but for whatever reason, there was a decline. And now God is bringing you into a restorative process. Hallelujah. There are at least 3 or 4 indices, and I'll run it very quickly, that attests to the fact that an individual has experienced or is experiencing genuine revival. Number one, a restoration of passion and hunger for God. It's impossible to say you have experienced revival or are experiencing revival at a personal level without a restoration of hunger and passion for God. A restoration of your spiritual fire. A restoration of your consecration and devotion unto God. Your hunger, your passion for God, the fear of God is called Yirat Adonai, the spirit of reverence at work in your life. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you, was it yesterday or this morning, that only revived men can sponsor revival. Only transformed men can transform societies. Only revived men can revive society. The most evident index, the most evident sign that an individual has experienced revival or is experiencing revival at a personal level is a restoration of deep hunger for God, a restoration of passion for God, not just for the things of God, first for God. A desire for God more than your necessary food. When you get to a point where you love Him beyond money, you love Him beyond things, you love Him beyond ambition. Hallelujah. It's very powerful. He must become your obsession. This is no selling of an idea of fanatism. Passion is different from fanatism. But you need to be passionate. There are many believers who carelessly, passively love the Lord. They are not necessarily antagonistic to spiritual things, but they don't have that press, that passion. There is an energy that passion carries. When you see a believer that is zealous, passionately in love with Jesus, he or she does not have to speak in tongues. The health of his spiritual life is feelable, is palpable. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The first sign that revival has come into the life of an individual is a restoration of your hunger. Now, this spreads like an oasis starting from one point and spreading across. When your hunger for God is in place, it will be evident in your prayer life. So this doubles as a restoration of passion. Your prayer altar is back, your word study life, you know, and your passion for the house of God, your passion to serve in the house of God. All of these are effects of having hunger and passion for God. Hallelujah. Take it down for me. Let me try and see if I'm able to sing this song. You are the first. You are the stream. You are the hunger living deep inside of me. You are the food that satisfies. You are provision for the journey of my life. You are everything. That's the song of a revived man. You are everything. I'll sing it one more time. You are the thirst. You are the stream. You are the hunger living deep inside of me. You are the food that satisfies. You are provision for the journey of my life. So can we sing? You are everything. That's simple enough. Sing it. You are everything. That's the song of a revived man. That you are everything. More than gold and silver, you are everything. More than ambition and the press for success, are everything. Let's try it one more time. You are the thirst. You are the stream. You are the hunger living deep inside of me. You are the food that satisfies. You are provision for the journey of my life. Jacob's well will never do, so I will draw from you. This whole world. Sing it one more time. That Jacob's well will never do, so I will draw from you.
This whole world will never do, so I will draw from you.
Ladies and gentlemen, God's first assignment in seeking to revive a territory is to revive the light bearers. God is challenging us tonight to return to the place of passion and hunger. Hunger beyond praying in tongues. Hunger beyond dressing like a Christian. That you love the Lord passionately. Passionately. Only revived men can revive territories. Only transformed men can transform territories. This is a call to fan your prayer life back. This is a call to fan your word study life back. It's impossible for you to grow if your prayer life is down and your word study life is down. Spiritual growth is one of the clearest indices of personal revival. And there are four elements of spiritual growth. Perhaps I should digress for a minute just to teach you. How do you know you are growing spiritually? According to scripture, there are four evidences that a man is growing spiritually. Number one, the first measure of spiritual growth is the degree of your conformity to the image and the character of Christ in experience. The first index to measure spiritual growth as proof that you have experienced personal revival, please write it down, is your degree of conformity to the image and the character of Christ. Your hunger for God, your love for God, your passion for Jesus should translate into your desiring to be like Him. My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. 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 Is someone learning? Your degree of conformity. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have to pray in tongues for people to know you are a Christian, something is wrong with your witness. The Bible said they shall call you ministers of our God. Your praying in tongues is wonderful, but that should not be the initial evidence that you are a Christian. That you are so like Christ, unmistakably like Christ. The dexterity of your character, the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in and through your life. Evidently so. You don't have to be a man of God for this to happen. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 22. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 4. All of these portions of scripture speak to the fact that believers need to be dexterous in character. And the greatest measure of character is love. The love of Christ furnished in you in experience. Is someone learning? The first index to measure maturity and growth in the spirit is your degree of conformity to the image and the character of the Christ. Number two, the level of illumination and enlightenment, your level of spiritual intelligence is the second measure of growth and maturity, which is a reflection of your hunger and your love for Jesus. Write that down. Light is the second index to measure maturity. It's impossible to say you are a believer, matured, growing, revived, and then you are wallowing in ignorance. No, no. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, 10 and even 11. The Bible says in Colossians 1 that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and then increasing in the knowledge of God. Index number 2, light. The degree of your access to light, intelligence, spiritual illumination. I told you the Zoe life we have received in Christ is activated and released through knowledge, through knowledge, through knowledge. I can buy a brand new phone. iPhone. What's the latest iPhone now? iPhone what? You are right. So that iPhone. Praise God. Whatever you said is correct. So iPhone, whatever you have, imagine that you buy it and then you keep it on your shelf. You have it. The potential to navigate the internet and do whatever to be secured and so on and so forth. But because you lack the requisite dimension of knowledge to activate it, that phone can be there and you'll not be able to operate it. Am I right? You may have heard me say, I've seen people using the same kind of phone as me and I've been surprised what they could do with that phone. And yet we have the same phone, same price, same make. The difference is knowledge or interest. To call and text and browse, I think is fair enough for me, and I'm satisfied, very satisfied. But there are people who can pick up this phone and work wonders with it. So you can find a believer having the same eternal life, but he's gone past the realm of ignorance and has accessed light, and he can produce possibilities out of that life as though God decided to isolate that individual and lift and bless the person. No, the same Lord is rich unto all, but our possibilities are defined by our level of spiritual understanding, not the love of God. Our level of spiritual understanding in the spirit is capital. Understanding in the spirit is a miracle. Next time you are listening to miracles that happen in the Bible, don't forget understanding. The miracle of understanding is a real miracle. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Very quickly, index number 3. What is the third index that measures spiritual growth as proof that you are revived, as proof that you love the Lord? The outworkings of the power of the Holy Ghost through your life. The outworkings of the power of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not stop with knowledge alone. The outworkings of the power of the Holy Ghost through your life. The outworkings of the power of the Holy Ghost through your life. Acts 4:33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus. I find those three words very interesting. Or the four words, how God anointed Jesus. You find the word God, you find the word anoint, you find the word Jesus. How God anointed Jesus. With the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good, healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. The outworkings of the power of God, the outworkings of the gift of the Spirit, divine possibilities finding expression through your faculty, divine possibilities finding expression through your hand, is proof that you are matured in the Spirit, is proof that your love, your passion for God is now yielding results. And then finally, the final and the greatest proof that you are matured is love. The love of God abounding in you. The Bible calls it the bond of perfectness. Again, your degree of conformity to the image and the character of the Christ in experience, your level of illumination and spiritual enlightenment, the degree of the outworkings of the power of God in and through your life, and then your love life. These are the four biblical indices that measure spiritual maturity. So when you say I am matured, it's not because you've been in church for years. In fact, it's not even because you've been in the faith for years. It must be justified by the presence of these indices. Now back to our discussions. I'm saying personal revival has to do ultimately with your hunger, your love, your consecration, your devotion, your passion for the things of God, and then you're embracing the fear of God. Write that statement down. That's a very profound statement. The man who fears God genuinely, the word fear there does not mean to run away from him. It's the word reverence. It's the word respect. Many people believe in God, but they do not reverence him. Reverence. Yirat Adonai. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. When the fear of the Lord is restored in a life, in a home, in a nation, you see that now? It makes way for revival. I'd like you to pray whilst you are seated and cry unto the Lord that he restores the fear of the Lord in your life and restores your passion and your hunger. Lift your voice in 1 minute. Cry unto your maker. The spirit of reverence. The character of the Christ evidently manifesting through a believer. The index of revival. Hunger for God. Restored consecration. Restored devotion. Restored fear of the Lord. Leading to a life of prayer. Power in prayer. A desire for the word. A desire for the things of God. A desire to be a witness. When you love the Lord, it will affect your prayer life. When you love the Lord and you hunger for his presence, it will affect your time in worship. It will affect your hunger for the word of God. It will affect your zeal and your desire to serve God. I like the way the psalmist put it. He says, "Oh Lord, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My heart longs for you as in a dry and a thirsty land to see your power and your glory in my life as I have seen in the sanctuary." Hallelujah. To love him, one thing I have desired. Please look for that scripture for me. That's the language of revived men. Psalm 6, is it Psalm 66? One thing I have desired of the Lord and that will I seek after. Let's hurry up very quickly. Thank you. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Pastor Nat sang it very beautifully. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Look at that statement. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is the language of revived men. It takes hunger for God to make such a statement. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That a day, one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Every battle against your fire, your hunger, your zeal, your consecration, your devotion, I decree and declare that battle comes to an end now. I plant in you a fresh hunger for God. I plant in you by the Spirit a fresh love for God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take it down. What's that song? It says, I love you, Jesus. I worship and I adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you. That's right. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than ever. For someone, that will become your song after this conference. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. You know, please listen to me. When Jesus rose up from the dead, he saw Peter, the son of Jonas, in John 21. Peter left in anger and he said, I go a fishing. And his brother said, we go with you. And they went and caught nothing. And Jesus shows up by the seashore and he says, little children, have you any catch? And they tried and tried, and he said, cast your net to the right side. And the Bible says they caught a multitude of fishes. And Peter, realizing that this was Jesus, he washed himself and said, depart from me, because he was naked and he knew that he was a sinner. Peter comes to Jesus and they sit to eat. And Jesus asks Peter a question that he's asking us right now as we prepare to wrap up this conference. He says, Simon Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? It's a question everyone will answer. You don't answer the question corporately. No. Lovest thou me more than this? I know you love me, but do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than titles? Do you love me more than reputation? You must fall in love with Jesus, brothers and sisters. Prayer should not be an inconvenience for you when you love him. One thing I know about love is that you always have time for who and what you love. The first proof that something is wrong with your love life is the excuse of time. You always have time for who and what you love. Hallelujah. Someone lift your hands whilst you are seated and just cry for a fresh baptism of hunger, a fresh baptism of love. Love for Jesus. Love for Jesus. Are you praying? Love for Jesus. Let it be from the depth of your heart. I desire to love you. I desire to love you. Pastor Nat said, I desire to love you. I really desire to love you more than before. We sang that song earlier on. Hopefully we'll sing it again before we're done. Help me know Jesus, he said, more than before. Lift your voice. We're still praying. Father, help me love you. Help me love you. Help me love you. Help me love you. Someone is praying, I love you, but there are many things that have taken your place. The desire to make it, the desire to be great. Ministry can also be an idol. It can take his place. The desire for fame, the desire for renown. It is at such conferences that you break down. The spirit of brokenness, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Someone, for the next 20 seconds, you are praying, Lord, I surrender everything. Plant a fresh fire, fresh love in my heart for you, that I will love you more than my necessary food. I will love you more than fame. I will love you more than the accolades of men, that you will remain my obsession forever. My obsession forever. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared, not for Christians, for them that love him. Them that love him. And it's revealed it to us by the Holy Ghost. You have to leave this place a lover of Jesus. A lover of Jesus. A passionate lover of Jesus. That you wake up in the morning and you are happy to pray. You are happy to worship. You are happy to study the word. You are happy to serve in the house of God. Because you love him. Because you love him. Because you need him. He is life to you. Not just the founder of a religion. The lover of your soul.
Help me, oh Jesus. Jesus,
more than before.
More than before.
Let's try that part. More than before.
More than before.
That's the part of the song I need to enter your spirit.
More than before.
I want to love you, Lord.
More than before.
The evidence of personal revival is restored hunger, restored passion, restored consecration, a restoration of the fear of the Lord, a restoration of your love for Jesus that translates into a healthy prayer life, a healthy word study life, not the ritual of it, not the religiosity of it, that translates into passion, passion to grow. to serve his purposes, to live for him all the days of your life. That's how you know a revived man. I don't care how what you say about revival. If these indices are not evident in your life, you have not experienced personal revival. It says, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. Awake. A man can be in a state of slumber. Awake thou that sleepest. There are men of God who are sleeping in slumber. And the Lord is calling for a restoration. Personal revival. Personal revival. In the name of Jesus, again, I pray for you, and this from the depth of my heart. Whatever wants to take the place of God in your life, we bind it tonight and we cast it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? You must protect the place of God in your life so that the things that he gives you does not become the idol in your life. I hope you know God can fight what he once gave you. Once he takes his place, God can be the one who gave you and later fight it. Because it's grown wings and taken his place there. In the name of Jesus, take your place in my life. Take your place in my life. Let nothing else take your place in my life. Very quickly, let's go to the second level of revival. The second evidence index that measures revival in the house of God. This one is very important. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute, and then I'll put forth the evidences, the indices very quickly. God is changing someone's life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, let me list for you a few indices. How do you know that revival has gotten into the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, a restoration of the integrity of priesthood. That's the first proof that the church is experiencing revival. I told you revival is at a personal level. When it comes to the church, the first proof that a church, whether as a denomination or as a corporate body of believers, a restoration of the integrity of priesthood. When there is a restoration of the integrity of priesthood, then you know that an awakening, a revival has happened, is happening within the church. Number two, a restoration of the supremacy of the word of God above and beyond any other experience. A restoration, listen to this, a restoration of the supremacy of the word of God as absolute and final authority in all things and in every matter. For as long as culture, with all due respect, can superimpose the word of God, for as long as visions and prophecies can superimpose the word of God, for as long as feelings can superimpose the word of God, revival has not happened to the church. Until the church gets to a point where we submit to the supremacy of the word of God as final authority, if you ask me, as touching my worldview, I don't have a personal view. Whatever the word of God says, that is where I stand. Matthew 4 and verse 4, man, any man shall not live by bread alone. Bread means that which is man-made, of human origin, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. One of the major crises, as we discussed in previous discussions, in the body of Christ, is that most people, with all due respect, even preachers, have not come to a point where they have sold an idea to members about the supremacy of the word of God. Final authority in all things and in all matters. Number three, the third index, the third evidence of revival in the church is a restoration of honor to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A restoration of honor to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that the gift of the Spirit and everything that proceeds from him has gone through all kinds of shades of abuses. I understand. But the church must never get to a point where we downplay the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first dimension of the Godhead revealed in Scripture. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It says now the earth was void, formless, tohu wa bohu is the Hebrew expression. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered around the face of the waters. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. If you ignore the ministry of the Holy Ghost, there is only so much the church can do. I hope you know the Holy Ghost is called the Lord of the harvest. He's the one responsible for this project kingdom come. He's the guarantee that the church will not fail. The bride of Christ as the church only wins in partnership with him. Independent of the Holy Ghost, there is no basis for victory. Is someone learning now? We must submit, we must honor and respect the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, I have many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will take that which is of mine and he will give to you. The Holy Spirit, the one who searches the deep things of God and reveals to us. He's the paraclete. The Greek word is allos parakletos. The one who is an extension of the ministry of Jesus. He makes men powerful. He's the custodian of the power of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit. He's the fountain of wisdom. He's the one who imports the life of God into the spirit of the believer. He's the one who activates divine possibilities to your faculties. You cannot ignore his ministry and succeed. The church must return back. That's why we don't see healings as we should see. That's why we don't see revivals break out as we should see. Because we are trying to do the project kingdom come in the strength of the flesh. We must return back to acknowledging the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who is learning? So number one, a restoration of the integrity of priesthood. Number two, a restoration of the supremacy of the Word of God as final authority. Listen to me. You may have heard me say that the Word of God must be exalted above and beyond visions, above and beyond dreams. You may have heard me say, it is written is greater than I saw. It is written is greater than I heard. Many destinies have been destroyed because of what they saw, destroyed because of what they heard. Now, I'm not downplaying visions, but if you run your life with all due respect, run your church purely based on visions and prophecies, I guarantee you without prophesying, you will be exhausted and eventually the margin of error will be so wide, you will get into error eventually. The coordinates of balance and safety is the written word of God. That is the basis for judging any other spiritual experience. We must train the people to believe the word of God. For an example, if I go to bed and I have a dream and I found out that in that dream, say, I had some experience and I died or whatever, if I get up and I begin to panic, it is because I've not been taught to exalt the supremacy of the word of God, knowing that what is written can change what I saw. If someone prophesies to me now, with all due respect, as accurate a prophet as he or she is, if it's a prophecy of doom, I will congratulate him and tell him thank you. And tell him you can go. Just leave me and the word. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The body of Christ must return to a place where we value the supremacy of the word of God. That is the cure to fear. There is nothing you would tell me that has not been written. The end of my destiny, the end of my day has been written. Apostle, God is angry with you. Interesting conversation you had with him. The last time I checked, the word said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring me a future and an expected end. When we respect the supremacy of the word of God, it will minimize being slaves to preachers. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, number three. And then number four. What is the fourth index to measure revival in the church? A restoration of passion for the lost. A restoration of passion for the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible to say the church is experiencing revival in the true spirit of it until and unless there is a restoration of passion for the lost. Passion for souls. Passion for the lost. Number five, a restoration of discipleship in its truest definition. The fifth proof of true revival in the church is a restoration of discipleship. Discipleship being the name given to the process that cultures believers to become like Christ in experience. Discipleship. We cannot say we're experiencing revival when there's laxity in discipleship. And then I'll give you the sixth index as it concerns the church. The sixth and the final index, maybe not necessarily all, but at least for our discussion, unity and love. That is the sixth index that there is true revival. Let me tell you, don't downplay this sixth point. The presence of unity. Now, unity does not mean uniformity. We do not have to do everything together. We may differ in terms of our beliefs, in terms of, you know, our approach to ministry, our understanding of spiritual things. But difference should not equal hatred. Selling an idea of hate using the guise of spirituality is proof of the absence of revival fire. Unity and love. That's the principal assignment of the fivefold, to bring believers into the unity of faith, a common understanding, albeit unity. There are thousands of people seated in this beautiful auditorium, and we come from different tribes, tongues, nations, but is it not been a beautiful experience that when it's time to sing, we sing together? Did you know the sounds that come from you do not carry your name? It comes as an aggregated sound from everyone, producing beauty. The sound that leaves my left, the sound that leaves my right, it mixes together and produces such a beautiful sound. That's what happens when the church comes together. There is a dimension of the glory of God. There's a dimension of territorial transformation that cannot happen until the church comes into a state of unity. The Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord. One accord. That's the language of unity. One accord. We must pray that the Lord of the harvest, that the God of heaven, will take away the hate, the lack of hatred that has plagued denomination after denomination. Are we together? Once you love Jesus and once you serve him, we may not agree across, you know, certain sensitive areas. But provided you love Jesus, provided you are genuinely born again with a growing determination to conform to the image and the character of Christ, you are my brother, you are my sister, you deserve my love. Isn't it amazing that in society, those who antagonize believers sometimes are not unbelievers. They are believers themselves. They rejoice over the downfall of others. No, it ought not to be so. The Bible talks about the joints, the body of Christ, like the various organs in the body, each supplying nutrients to enrich the organism. Unity and love. And let me tell you this, one of the major sponsors of unity is mutual respect. One of the major sponsors of unity is mutual respect. Pastors, we must love ourselves. We must respect ourselves and the investment of the Holy Spirit given from the greatest to the least. Agreed, we may not function at the same level. Our levels of sacrifice and press and, you know, diligence in the Spirit can differ. But it should never be a reason to look down on one another. Believers in Liverpool, believers in UK, you must have a growing love for one another. That when you see another believer at the mall, you don't act as though you do not know them. A person should not have to be your church member to secure your love. Once he's a believer in Christ, you must think beyond denomination, think kingdom. If it will profit the kingdom, then it's a plus to all of us. Is someone learning? A restoration of love and unity. This right here is grossly missing. We pray in tongues and hate ourselves. We pray in tongues and plot evil against ourselves. We study scripture and rejoice over the downfall of men. And this is costing the larger body. The larger body. I've been honored having pastors. There are several pastors that have left. They've been at the conference not doing anything. These are great men and women of God in their own right and in their own capacity. It's been a profound honor. Some of them have been around from yesterday and they've been here all through the conference. Leaving, you know, whatever their plans, their busy schedules, just to sit, to share fellowship together, to learn. Now that's the spirit of unity. And let me tell you something, my precious people. With all due respect, members need to be careful because sometimes they are the sponsors of hatred among men of God. By the time you begin to sell an idea, Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. What do you think Saul will do to David? Saul will find a javelin and want to pin David at the wall. Mutual respect can enhance unity. Spiritual growth can enhance unity. Are we together? We need to trust God to help us. Let me do a quick recap on that, and then we'll go to territories and pray. I'm itching to pray. It's burning in me to pray. That to experience revival in the church, there are 6 indices that demonstrate the presence and validate revival in the church. Number 1, the restoration of the integrity of priesthood. Number 2, restoration of the supremacy of the word of God in the church as final authority above any other experience. Number 3, restoration of the ministry, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Honor to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number 4, restoration of passion for the lost. Number 5, restoration of discipleship. Discipleship across every denomination, across every church structure. And then number 3, restoration of unity and love among the brethren. I pray in the name of Jesus that all these will be experienced in Liverpool. The church in Liverpool, I'm speaking to you. Regardless what denomination, in the name of Jesus, the church in UK, I'm speaking to you, the church in Europe, may all these indices begin to manifest in your churches and the corporate body of believers will walk in this reality. You believe that? Shout a loud believing amen. Number 3, what are the indices of revival in society? We've looked at what happens when a man is revived. We've looked at what happened when a church, the corporate body of believers, are revived. The indices. I'll give you the one of society. Are you ready? Number 1. The first proof that revival has gotten into society. Are you ready? The fixing or improvement in the moral state of that society. Let's put it that way. Improvement. It's impossible to say a revival has broken out in a territory without a notable improvement. Moral, a restoration. I'll put it this way. A restoration of moral excellence. That's it right there. A restoration of moral excellence. Think about it. Do you think a revival has broken around Liverpool and UK if the crime rate drops? Statistically proven. Are we together? Yes. The crime rate, for an example. Corruption, for an example. As it concerns the nations of the earth. Injustice. And all kinds of social vices. The gospel, when it penetrates culture, it creates moral excellence. So the first proof that revival is happening at a societal level is the restoration of moral excellence, an improvement on the moral condition. Do you think Liverpool will be a better place when young people learn to respect elders? Or you don't believe that? So that I apologize quickly. Do you still believe in respect? Do you still believe in the dignity of labor? Do you still believe in diligence? Yes. It must affect the moral fabric of society. Number two, the second index that measures the presence of revival, territorial transformation. Are you ready? Kingdom influence in the marketplace and in the matters of state. A growing kingdom influence in the marketplace and the matters of state. It's impossible for the church, for us to say there is reformation, transformation, territorial transformation from a kingdom standpoint, if the influence of the church, the influence of believers is not growing across the marketplace and across the social strata of society. A growing influence in the marketplace, a growing influence across the seven mountains, as we call it. Growing influence. What's the third index to measure revival in society? Socioeconomic transformation. Please put that down. Socioeconomic transformation. It must affect the sociology. It must affect the economy. You go and read history. Every time genuine revivals broke out, concurrently, there was socioeconomic transformation. Now, with all due respect, this is the part of revival that is not taught. We end at personal revival. So we have consecrated people who love the Lord, but revival does not spill like the river that leads from the throne of God. It doesn't get to the church and it does not get to society. And so we end up producing fanatics. Little wonder many regions and societies are frowning at the church because they've not been able to see the value of the church in the matters of state. But things are changing. Shout a believing amen. Things are changing. They're changing because of you. Three indices. Number one, an improvement in the moral condition. An improvement in the moral condition. Shortly, we are going to be praying, and among the many things we'll be doing is challenging the spirits of rebellion. There is a spirit of rebellion. Listen, I don't mean to be harsh, and forgive me, but let me tell you, if you have a child that is less than 13 years, begin to pray prophetically over them, because there is an attack over those age, that age demography. The devil wants to attack that entire generation to bring the spirit of lawlessness and rebellion. But in the name of Jesus, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we lift up a standard by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away.
When you want to intercede for revival at a territorial level, these are the areas to focus on. The moral fabric of society. The moral fabric of society. Number two, you pray that the Lord will, through the teaching ministry, the apostolic ministry, raise and train not just members, but refined, educated, empowered witnesses who can grow. Let me tell you this. You know the key to influence? In addition to prayer and fasting, in addition to spiritual intelligence, the key to influence is value addition and productivity. If the church prays, fasts, roll under the anointing, and does not import the wisdom of the Spirit to use it in nation building, we will not grow in influence. Productivity and value addition is the key to influence. Ask Daniel, ask Joseph. Productivity. We need to train believers that in addition to spiritual vibrancy, they must be productive. Educate your mind. Build skill. It is spiritual to be skillful. Don't be lazy. Don't excuse spirituality for laziness. Make up your mind that when you stand at the palace, you will have something to tell Pharaoh. Don't just tell Pharaoh, let us pray. He doesn't want to pray, but he wants the fruits of prayer. So you do the praying and import the wisdom from your secret place and say, Pharaoh, have no fear. I am here. The secret has been revealed to me. Believers, it is wonderful to be miracle workers, but we must add value to society. The Bible calls us light. The Bible calls us salt. Is God challenging someone? Perhaps for someone, you may need to take a little press to get some certification that will give you the legitimacy to become a director in that parastatal. Go for it. It is spiritual. You are doing it because you love the Lord. You may need to take some informal training. Build your mind. Build capacity. Don't freeze your brain as you pray in tongues. Use all of them. Use your mind. Use your spirit. Use your brain. Hallelujah. I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there is a level of influence that comes when a territory cannot do without you. No man is indispensable, but become very difficult to replace. Become very difficult to replace. Let the company not think about you when they want to downsize. It means you are not a blessing enough. You know, sometimes with all due respect, we pray in church and we pray for favor. We pray in church and we pray for open doors. We pray in church and we pray that God would scale us through heights in influence. But we do not have the value that legitimizes our rising to that place. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that when next we meet, nobody will be at the level with which he came here. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking this over you. But you see, you take this grace that is coming upon you and you go and war with it. You go and walk with it. You go and improve. I made up my mind, and this is with all due respect as a man of God. I made up my mind that my relevance, and this is not from a selfish standpoint, but that my relevance will not stop at the pulpit. No, no. It shouldn't be that when I sit among corporates, all I do is open prayer and close it. No, I'm not that dull. I won't waste the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I have something to say, sir. I have something to say, sir. My heart is indicting a good matter. Yea, I speak of excellent things. It says my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Is someone learning? Value. Excellence. Whilst I was sitting and I just watched Pastor Nat playing the trumpet, I know many of you were seeing anointing, but this, my brain was seeing anointing on one hand, but the investment of skill and competence and excellence. Skill. 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 It took more than anointing to make this happen. What you see is an aggregate of excellent. Excellence and an approach. Excellence. Skill. I pray for you from the depth of my heart. That intellectual inertia, I break it from your life. I break it from your life. I break you free from it. In the name of Jesus. You will be a vibrant believer, but you will be a productive believer. In the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. Be the best at what you do. Not from a competitive standpoint. You are being the best for the sake of the kingdom. You are being the best for the sake of His Majesty. Can we make you the president of a nation? If the only thing you will do as a president is prayer, I won't vote you. No, sir. No, sir. Start with prayer, but let me see how you import the intelligence of the kingdom and use it in policy formulation that changes lives. Now you are showing me you are a vibrant believer. Believers, let's start with the altar, but end with dominion. And bridging the altar and dominion is intelligence. Intelligence is a midwife. It's a vehicle that imports realities that you have received from the secret place and takes it to the marketplace. Are we at risk if we make you the head of a bank as a Christian? If we make you the head of a bank, ladies and gentlemen, are we at risk? Will our money be safe the day you assume that office. Don't say you are my brother. Don't say I'm a member of Koinonia. Do you have the capacity? There are many prayers that cannot be answered because your hand is too small to receive it. Your mind is too small to receive it. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. Father, grant me the grace to be productive. Grant me the grace to be productive. That's the secret to influence. The value of the grace of God, listen, the value of the anointing is that it comes upon a life that is transformed and productive. Transformed and productive. When you anoint a life and a destiny that is transformed and productive, you will see the anointing on full display. But when the anointing rests upon a mind that is dull of understanding and a destiny that is not productive, the anointing will remain dormant. That's why we keep receiving impartations in church. We fall, we shout, we arise, and we fail. We fall, we shout, we arise, and we fail. We fall, we shout, we arise, and we fail. And the world is watching that formula. And they say, I don't believe in you. But here comes a generation that is vibrant, transformed, reformed, intelligent, productive, and anointed. And anointed, sir. Liverpool, UK, the believers who are here are more than enough to exert kingdom influence. But it calls for a level of productivity. You are a doctor, be the best, be the finest. You are an engineer, be the best. Let the government call you and say, who designed this? They may not like you, but they cannot deny what came out of you. Pharaoh did not need to like Joseph. He was in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar did not need to like Daniel. He was in trouble. Gentiles will come to your light, not to your person, not to your person, to your light. And they are kings to the brightness of your rising. Again, I pray for you from the depth of my heart. The grace for productivity. The ability to expand your capacity. Not for personal aggrandizement, but that you become a worthy host of influence. And you can use that influence to defend the project of kingdom come. I release that grace upon you now. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Productivity. Then it will affect the socioeconomic fabric of that territory. At that point, all and sundry will know that God has imported the value system of the kingdom and is evidently finding expression within that territory. We are getting into a serious session of prayer right now. And I want everybody, put on your prayer regalia, because we want to settle certain things. We want to see revival in our lives, in the church, and in the UK. Our lives, the church, the corporate body of believers, and then in every business, in government. But it's time for us to pray. May I request that you rise up on your feet. Hold hands with someone. Let us pray.
King eternal. King immortal. You're the King invisible. The only wise God. King eternal.
King eternal.
King immortal.
Immortal.
King invisible,
King invisible,
the only wise God, King eternal,
King eternal,
King immortal,
King immortal,
King invisible,
King invisible, the only wise God.
Would you lift your voice in 1 minute and thank God for everything you've learned tonight? And all through this series, revive us again. Unmasking the infrastructure of darkness, showing you how revival fire is reignited, and showing you tonight the evidences of true revival. Lift your voice in 1 minute and thank Him. Blessed are your ears for they hear. Blessed are your eyes for the things that you have seen. Shabalanto sobrakate belegeta. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your voice and shout this as we pray. Pray with aggression, pray with fire, pray seriously. Say, Father. Again, shout it, say, Father. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare revival fire fall upon my life, fall upon my destiny, fall upon my altar. Lift your voice and pray. You are praying for yourself. Revival fire, prayer fire, word study fire, consecration fire, devotion fire. Come on now, lift your voice and pray. Shabakata brakata belekata brakata, ebrantata braskata brakata rantoska brakate, ekrata braskata belekata brakata bas, lekrotoko brakata brakata. Revival fire, let it fall upon my life. Let it fall upon my destiny. After 2 days, He will revive us. And on the third day, He will raise us up. Someone lift your voice and pray. Press in the spirit. Press in the spirit. A restoration of prayer fire. A restoration of word study fire. A restoration of passion for God. A restoration of consecration. Total devotion, surrenderedness. Lift your voice and pray. Shabakata brakata. 10 more seconds. You are pressing, you are praying, you are declaring. Let there be a reignition of revival fire. Revival fire. Shabakata brakata brakata. Oh Lord, will you set my heart on fire for you? For you. Oh Lord, will you set my life in order for you? Let it be your prayer.
For you.
We're praying for the church in Liverpool. We're praying for the church in UK. We're praying for the church in Europe. And then you pray for the churches represented in your region. Listen, if you know the name of any church, your church, any assembly, please mention it by name and decree and declare, let revival fire fall. Let revival fire fall with the accompanying evidences. Are you ready? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree, we declare over the church in Liverpool, over the church in UK, over the church in Europe, over the church in Africa, the church in America, the church in Jamaica, the church in Kenya, the church in Nigeria. Let revival fire fall. Open your mouth and pray. Let there be a restoration of the integrity of priesthood. Let there be a restoration of the supremacy of the word of God. Let there be a restoration of all.
in UK, regardless the denomination, experience revival. Are you mentioning the name of the churches? If you are able to, mention by name. Let fire fall. 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 Soul winning fire. Let it fall. Discipleship fire. Let it fall. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. I taught you yesterday and this morning that there are three errors that proceed from the teaching ministry. We must pray against these errors. Number one, the error of falsehood and apostasy. It proceeds from the teaching ministry. Number two, the error of accurate principles that are wrongly communicated. And number three, the error of imbalance. Imbalance. We are going to pray and say, Father, circumcise the church from these errors. Let there be a circumcision of priesthood, that men and women will not bring apostate teachings. They will not bring falsehood to the altar. That men and women of God, loving the church, serving the church, will not manipulate accurate principles and communicate it for deceit or out of ignorance. And that God will redeem the church from the cancer of imbalance. Lift your voice and pray. We're interceding. This is why we came. This is how the sound of revival sounds. Lift your voice and pray, everybody. Lift your voice and pray. Cry for wisdom. Wisdom in the church. Understanding of doctrine. Understanding of scripture. Understanding of the ways of God. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the errors that proceed from the ministry of the word, the error of apostasy and falsehood, the error of the wrongly dividing the word of truth, the error of imbalance, by grace and by mercy, let the church be circumcised from this error, so that believers become matured, so that believers become grounded in truth. Shabakata prakata peleta kata ekrabata kaskata peleta prakatia shabakata prakata peleta parata. In Jesus' name we pray. We're still praying. Say, Father. Shout it like you're serious. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, every attack, every gang up from hell against the church in Liverpool, the church in UK, the church in Europe, the church global, we decree and declare, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Satan, take your hands away from the church. Lift your voice and pray. Every attack on the church, every attack on men of God, every attack on their integrity, every attack on the worship ministry, every attack on the apostolic ministry, the prophetic ministry, every attack on the integrity of churches, we come against it. We wage war by faith in the name of Jesus. The Lord is building his church, and the gates of hell, the gates of hell, the gates of hell, come on now, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Every attack, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen. I'm staying here for one moment. We'll pray and then we'll begin to blow and do the prophetic. We are still praying for the church. We don't want a situation where men of God are done preaching, then they collapse and die. It's not a good testimony. Where a man of God is preaching and battling cancer, it's not a good testimony. Are we together? It does not bring glory to the church to hear of all kinds of scandals that are destroying the church. It's not about pointing fingers. It rubs up on everybody. We are going to pray. Let God arise. Let God arise. Every plot, every plot, anyone plotting in the spirit of Haman against the progress of the church, we decree and declare, let the fire of judgment rest upon altars of wickedness. Lift your voice and pray. Let the fire of judgment rest upon altars of wickedness, programmings of darkness against the prophetic destiny of priesthood, programmings of darkness, programmings of darkness. We wage war by faith. We decree and we declare. Shabenana kabarakata, ebrakata takatabata. Men of God will last. They will be healthy. They will not die young. They will not preach error. They will not be victims of scandals. The staying power, the grace to protect, the grace to defend. They will stand the test of time. Churches will not be closed because of lack of finances. The program of God will not be shut down because of poverty. Lift your voice and pray. We are praying for the church. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The final prayer, praying for the church. We are going to pray for three unique ministries. Number one, the prayer ministry. Number two, the ministry of prophetic psalmistry. And number three, the teaching ministry. These are the three ministries that represent the pillars of growth in the church. The evangelistic is there, but they recruit into the church. But we are going to cry. Maybe we join and make it four. The evangelistic, bringing souls. The prayer ministry. When Satan wants to destroy a church, he does not attack every unit, every department. He attacks prayer. He attacks worship. He attacks the delivery of the word, and it's done. That's it. Please, if you're a pastor here, pray. This is a very prophetic part of the service. We're going to lift up our voices and pray and say, Lord, let there be an emergence of prophetic intercessors. Let there be an emergence of worshippers that will last for God's sake. Not worshippers that will come up and after 3 years they are down. Down and out. That men and women will last. They will not just be men with good voices, but they will carry fire. They will carry presence. They will be men of the secret place. Pray for accuracy in the ministry of the word. Lift your voice and pray. We are praying. We are making prayer investments. This is why we came. We pray in the name of Jesus for the prayer altar that supports every church. The church in Liverpool, the church in UK, the church in Europe. Let there be fresh fire upon the prayer altar. The fire upon the altar will not go down. The fire upon the altar, we insist, will not go down. Pray for the ministry of prophetic psalmistry. Let worshipers arise. Consecrated worshipers. Devoted worshipers. Presence carrying worshipers. Worshipers with character. Pray for the teachers of the word. Accuracy in understanding. The purity, the authenticity of communicating the word of God. With depth, with clarity, transformative teachings. In the name of Jesus. Now join hands with someone. We are going to pray for the territory now. We are praying for Liverpool, then UK, then Europe. Then you mention your nations, and then we'll switch into that prophetic dimension with the blowing of the shofar. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said, they shall prosper who love thee. Pray for the peace of Liverpool. They shall prosper. I taught you, I think the last time we were here, that you cannot excel in a nation you hate. You cannot thrive. The glory, the riches, the blessings of a nation you hate and resent will never be delivered to you. No. I can't hate UK and desire that the blessings of UK come to me. I love your nation. I love the people. That's why we are here.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus. The moral fabric, the spirit of rebellion, and all kinds of unpleasant vices, we're going to attack it in a place of prayer. You know them. You mention it. Dishonor to parents and all kinds of vice, irresponsibility, corruption at heart, systemic corruption, whatever it is that deters human dignity and the advancement of God's kingdom, it must come under arrest. Is someone ready to pray? Say, Father, we decree. Pray again. Say, Father, we decree and we declare over Liverpool, over UK, over Europe, over the nations of the earth, in the name of Jesus, let your fire, your refiner's fire, rest upon the moral fabric of our states. Go ahead and lift your voice. Pray. Pray. Advocate justice and righteousness in prayer. Let there be an emergence of pro-kingdom values, value systems that shape society. Is someone praying? Lift your voice and pray. Shabrataka parakata, ebrantata pakata prakata pakata, ebratos koto prentekete, rakata prakata prakata. We bind the spirits of rebellion. We bind occultic spirits. We bind demonic vices plaguing our children. Demonic vices. We decree and declare, you come under arrest by the power of the Holy Ghost. You come under arrest by the anointing of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Still praying for territorial revival. We are going to pray. Lord, grant believers access to influence in the places that matter. Is that a good prayer? The places that matter. The places that matter. Parliament, banking, politics, business, administration. Let believers own businesses that can employ labor. Are we together? Now that your heart is purified, God will not withhold his hand from you. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I contend for strategic kingdom influence. Say it again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I contend for strategic kingdom influence in the places that matter. Lift your voice and pray. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we contend as the church in Liverpool, the church in UK, by the power of productivity, by the grace of favor, by the wisdom of the Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, by insight from the Holy Ghost, we ascend heights, heights of influence, until we get to the places that matter, where we become influencers, defenders, promoters of the interests of human dignity and of the kingdom. Someone pray, someone pray, someone pray. Don't be tired of praying. You are making transgenerational investments. Let believers be represented across every strata, the seven mountains, the gates of territories, IT and tech, banking and finance, politics and governance, the media, education, policy formulation, parliamentarians. Lord, we pray for tongue-talking, vibrant, mature, trained, reformed believers. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hate to be a bearer of bad news. But UK, how many of you know that your economy now, as it stands, needs a miracle? I'm not prophesying negatively. We're talking based on statistics. It's true. We're going to pray. Because you are here, you are the light. Because if the economy goes down, you will feel it. Your children will feel it. Are we together? Because you are there, we reject any policy that will bring hardship and bring pain. Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, transform our social economy. Lift your voice and pray. Let there be transformation. Pray for wisdom for the members of parliament. Wisdom to enact policies that reflect fairness, reflect justice, that brings prosperity at a territorial level. Extend that prayer to the nations of the earth. Extend it to Nigeria, to South Africa, to Ghana, to Brazil, to Colombia, to China. Transform our economies in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, how many of you are ready with your prayer requests? Please bring it out. It's time for Pastor Nat to come in now. We're going to do some blowings in this place. We've done some prayers. We're going to be making prophetic decrees. If you're yet to write your request, let me give you a minute very quickly. Now, here's what I want you to do for me. Please, everyone, lend me your attention. When you're done with your request, can you pass it to the person by the extreme aisle, left or right, whichever, so that you make it easy for the ushers to pick it up? There are so many people, and we have to make sure we get this immediately. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all of these areas we have prayed over, we are going to blow the shofar. One of the things we discussed with Pastor Nat in preparing for this was the fact that I believe with all my heart that there is a wind that will come out of this trumpet and it will blow darkness away from out of Europe. The Bible talked about an east wind that came to blow away the lies that was plaguing the believers in Egypt, or the people, God's people, plaguing Egypt. There was a wind that came and blew. So write very quickly, and then he will be blowing over these areas. Personal revival, the revival of the church, the revival of the state. We are going to declare ancient gates and doors over Liverpool, over UK, that it be lifted. Whilst you're writing, take a minute and pray in the spirit. Let's do that very quickly. We're still in the spirit of prayer. Shamando brandis kilakusiata. Randi Suzezia Atanta Prakadiata. Many of you will be surprised. Shortly, we are going to be raining down prophecies over your destiny. The gates of your destiny must open up in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Very quickly. Ushers, help us. Let's make this very quickly. Shamantos Kalika Brati Zadash. For those of you who are connecting across the globe, this is Sound of Revival, and here is our final session. We're in praying very prophetically over the nations of the earth, and we're about to blow over your life, so make sure you participate. For those of you who have written your requests, you can send them electronically, and our media team would collate them. Whilst we're praying, we're going to be praying and speaking over your life. For those of you who are connecting online, here's where you invite all your friends to participate, because prophecy is about to come right now. Gates are about to open up. Graves are about to open up. The Lord is going to be rewriting stories in the name of Jesus. Unto you that answers prayer shall all flesh come. This is why we are here. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Tabling your prayer request is no ritual, ladies and gentlemen. We are people of light and understanding. We are engaging this with illumination. It will produce power. You've heard the testimonies. Extreme left or extreme right.
and like a symphony, all we have only, we will write you a song. It's a song of love to no other one but the one we adore. Like a symphony, yeah. Like a symphony, all in harmony, we will raise you a song. It's a song of love, it's a song of love to no one but the one.
Jesus. Now everyone, I'd like you to lift up your voice and begin to speak to the Lord over your needs. Please open your mouth and begin to declare, these Egyptians that I see today, I will see them no more forever. We're about to blow over this. In the name of Jesus, I want you to make declarations. Lift your voice, everybody. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. For those who are watching from across the globe, we're about to pray over the requests. This is the most accurate representation of your pain, your frustration, and that which has stopped you from laughing, from rejoicing, from experiencing victory. The God of heaven is about to demonstrate his power over this request. He's the God that answers prayer. Lift your voice and pray, everyone. Shababakata brandege barako segrete bedegeta. Be anxious for nothing. Mention the areas. They are written here. We're about to seal it, but lift your voice and pray. Across the nations of the earth, we are believers. We're calling upon the God of heaven. The one who hears, the one who answers. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Hallelujah. For sake of time, I'm going to speak over this and then Pastor Nat is going to prophetically blow. I truly believe in this wind revelation that as he blows in the name that is above all names, every negative storm in your life, financial storm, health storm, as he blows that trumpet in the name that is above all names, you will wave it goodbye and you will never see it again. I'm speaking to you prophetically. You will wave it goodbye and you will never see it again. Please stretch forth your hands towards the altar. In the name that is above all names, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Nat, please can I request that you join me for sake of time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare over these requests that every request that is here represented by the power that raised Christ from the dead, we turn every request to testimonies. Testimonies, testimonies, miracle jobs, miracle marriages, miracle children, promotions, increases, advancements, restorations, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare every issue of concern written here as it pertains your health, as it pertains your home, as it pertains your job, as it pertains your papers, as it pertains your loved ones, as it pertains your spiritual life, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, receive answers. Receive answers. Receive speedy answers. 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 In the name of Jesus, every spirit responsible for the pain that is here represented, we bind that spirit and cast it out of your life. We bind that spirit and cast it from your finances. Receive favor, open doors, advancement, favor, open doors, advancement, favor, open doors, advancement, favor, open doors, advancement, restoration, upliftment, restoration, upliftment, restoration, upliftment, in the name of Jesus. And we declare by the message of God that whatever you've written here, you will not need to write it again. Now please, I want you to be sensitive. The blowing of the shofar, Pastor Nat is about to blow. I truly believe with all my heart that this will be a wind that will blow any negative and every negative thing from your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Shamananto supragatiyada. Ah. Yes, sir. We blow away failure. We blow away delay. We blow away yokes. We blow away retrogression. Let the wind blow it away. In the name of Jesus, say I'm victorious. Say I decree and I declare, from today I win only. I go forward ever, backward never. Prophesy again, forward ever, backward never. Say the lines are fallen for me in pleasant places. Say the anointing of the Spirit is upon my head. Say I receive wisdom from above. I receive wisdom from above. I know what to do. Say the fire of God is burning on.
Jesus. Say, I am light. I am salt. I am light. I am salt. Again, I am light and I am salt. Say, the hand of God is upon me. The grace of God is upon my life. Therefore, I go forward. I go forward. I make progress. I go forward. I make progress. I go forward. No going back. No retrogression. No delay. Harvest of answers. Harvest of answers. Harvest of answers. In the name of Jesus. Shout it. Say 2026. Again, 2026. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Bring me favor. Bring me blessings. Bring me liftings. In the name of Jesus.
Please pick up the flags of your nations. Let's pray for the nations of the earth. We are going to be praying while Pastor Nat blows. I requested that you bring the flags, whatever nation at all, UK, the nations represented, please lift the flags as high as you are able to. Maybe a friend can support whoever is lifting their flags. You can put your flag electronically. I see some of you on phones. We're doing this prophetically. I see the flag of my nation, Nigeria. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, sir. I see the flag of Wales, your nation. Mention it yourself. I've mentioned my own nation. I didn't hear you.
Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified.
Pastor Nat, please, sir. As he blows, lift up the flag of your nation and we're going to begin to pray. His kingdom comes, his will is done in your nation, in the name that is above all names. Pray for your nation and the nations of the earth. For those of you who are following across the globe, please intercede for 1 minute over your nation. And then we're interceding for UK particularly because this conference is here. And then we spread it to all the nations. As Pastor Nat blows, we're declaring by the Spirit of God, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We declare an emergence of apostolic voices, an emergence of revivalists, an emergence of kingdom industrialists, an emergence of entrepreneurs. Are we ready now? Lift your voice and begin to pray while he blows. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Australia, China.
We desire to see the nation saved. This is why we do what we do. Please give Jesus a big hand clap. Marvelous hand clap. If it's been your night tonight, give him a marvelous hand clap. If it's been a glorious day one, glorious session two in the morning, give Jesus a resounding round of applause. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me quickly perform a most important function for this final night of this conference. It's been an awesome experience in the presence of God, humbled by the hand of God and what he's done. Everyone, please lend me your attention. Let's invest our attention for one last time. This is a very solemn moment. Minimize movement so that I make the altar call. Revival starts with Jesus. If Jesus is not the head of it, it is not revival. And I want to make a call for one last time to my dear brother, to my dear sister, to a mother, to an uncle, to an auntie, to someone who strolled in for this conference, and all through watching the wonder of God's wisdom and power, you were convicted by the Holy Ghost, and you know that you should not leave this conference without making a very intentional decision for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this Jesus I propose to you is the one who changed my life. He's the one who changed the life of everyone you find valuable and admirable. When we come to him, he builds us and he makes signs and wonders out of our lives. I propose to you for one last time this night, the Son of the Living God, the one who is lifted high, the one who died for your sins. The Bible says he so loved you that he died freely. He didn't have to, but he died as an expression of his love for you. Do not leave this place tonight knowing that you've not made it right with Jesus. Like I made the call in the morning, I'm making two calls in one. Call number one, for those who are saying, Apostle, I hear you. I hear you make the call, and I know by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that I need Jesus. I need salvation. I want eternal life to be mine right here, right now. Number two, there are those who are saying, Apostle, the Holy Ghost has convicted me time and time in the course of this conference, and I want to make it right. I want to rededicate my life. Listen, you don't have to come. You are not under duress, but this is for the sake of your eternal destiny. The Bible says, in the day that you hear his voice, to harden not your heart like they did in the wilderness. I'm watching the first person who will come and stand here before me, bold and confident, as a declaration of your love for Jesus, meaning you understand everything I just said. And then I watch the others who come to join you. I begin my counting now. For as many who desire to come and join the first person, God bless you, my dear brother. Let's celebrate them as they come. I begin my counting. One, I see bold, confident people, lovers of Jesus. Keep coming. Two, you're coming from the farthest of the isles, but I see you. For your sake, we will wait. This is the most important part of this conference. Is why we came. We came for you. We prayed for you. Come. Come. You are an answer to our prayers.
I believe in you.
Koinonia, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Let's celebrate them for one last time. What a harvest tonight. I see many coming from the farthest of the isles. You're doing this for Jesus. You're doing this for your destiny. It's worth it coming from that distance. Three. I count until five and then I begin to pray. What a glorious harvest tonight. We are still clapping. We are still watching you as you come.
I believe
that everyone who comes to him, he will in no wise cast away. God bless you, my dear sister. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
With your healing,
securing your eternal destiny in Christ. This is what you are doing.
You redeem my sight.
Four.
In my darkest hour.
I still see people coming. Make haste. You're coming to Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for making this normal decision for Jesus.
You redeem my sight. Jesus. Son of God. I believe in you.
God bless you.
I believe in you.
Hallelujah. Can we give Jesus a big hand clap for this harvest tonight? No man can come to God until he draws him by himself. My brothers and my sisters, please look at me. It's my honor, it's my privilege, it's truly a profound honor to lead you to Jesus, the one for whom we are gathered. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. You heard the word and you've responded by faith. Now I want to lead you to a prayer that makes salvation and eternal life yours in experience. I first and foremost want to congratulate you for the courage. I know it takes a lot. It took a lot for some of you leaving the fathers of the aisles to come. And that includes many of you who are about to make this prayer watching across the internet. Thank you so much. And then to congratulate you in advance, because the Bible says if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus, at that instant you are saved. This is what you are about to do. So I beckon on you to mean every word, because Jesus is in this place. With your hands lifted to heaven as a sign of surrender and your eyes fixed on Jesus, I'd like you to say this as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I declare that I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive the forgiveness of sin, and I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare that from tonight, Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I go forward ever and backward never. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your hands still lifted, Father, thank you for these precious ones who have come declaring your Lordship. By the integrity of God's word, I declare your sins forgiven. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God from this moment. The grace to live the victorious Christian life, I decree and declare that it is yours right now. And I pray that you walk in newness of life, knowing Jesus, loving him, and living for him all the days of your life. It's in Jesus' mighty and matchless name we pray, and the church said, amen. Now, you would have been given a card. I would request that you fill that card legibly and as truthful as you're able to. And then there is a gift pack. You would notice officials lifting a gift pack. As I always say, it's from Jesus through us to you as a declaration of love to help you jumpstart your newfound life in Christ. And then one last instruction, please look to my left. That will be your right from where you're standing. There are counselors who have been trained, loving people, willing to receive you. And for 1 minute, they'll have a word and a prayer with you. Thereafter, you rush back to your seat. Can we honor them as they go? My left, your right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep clapping until they leave. Let's honor them. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Would rescue the souls of men.
Rescue the soul of men. Oh, you rescue the soul of men.
Wonderful, merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior.
You are the
precious Redeemer.
So we're
praise the name of the Lord. For one last time, can you thank God for all that he's done from yesterday? If any part of this conference ministered to you with hands lifted to heaven, can you thank the Lord, the King of glory, the one who's made this possible? These are not the works of men. This is the hand of God. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and say thank you to Jesus for one moment. Those of you who are connected online, can you join us as we thank the God who has worked wonders in our midst? Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you and we love you. To you be all the glory. Be lifted in the name of Jesus. Now with your hands lifted, I speak the blessing over you. I decree and declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead, that from this Sound of Revival 2026 edition, begin to walk in dominion. Begin to walk in glory. I declare the spirit of wisdom upon you. I declare grace upon you. An accurate understanding of the word of God. Fresh fire upon your altar. You begin to experience signs and wonders. Can I prophesy favor upon your life? May this grace that is called favor work for you. Let it speak in your life. Let it speak in the morning. Let it speak in the afternoon. Let it speak in the night. Your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. By this time, 2027, you will be alive and healthy and strong to attend the Sound of Revival 2027. The only difference is that you will return 10 times better. 10 times better. You will return fruitful. You will return strong, loving Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare your family is blessed. I declare the works of your hands blessed. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Liverpool, thank you for receiving us. UK, thank you for receiving us. Koinonia, UK, thank you for receiving us. I love you with all my heart. Together, let's share the grace and fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. God bless you. I love you. See you tomorrow, and then see you when we see again.